You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. This is the second of a three-part program featuring legendary composer Cy Coleman. In September of 1980, Cy came to my apartment in Manhattan and discussed everything from his collaboration with Dorothy Fields to working with Gwen Verdon.
You began your very long and wonderful collaboration with Dorothy Fields with a show called Sweet Charity, and I was wondering how that relationship began.
Well, after Little Me, Carolyn Lee and I decided... I was furious.
So, in a word, yeah. Decided to break that one off.
We decided. I went to Europe. And I don't know why. It was one of those things when I just... And Little Me was a tough experience. You know, I mean, it was just a hard show. I mean, it was a wonderful show, but hard. And all of, I just took off for London. And I got in London, and I said, well, what am I here for? So I just decided to run away to Europe. I did. And then I stayed for about a month. And then I decided to come back. And then I started fooling around with other people. You know, I mean, when you break up a collaboration, it's very difficult. You know, you wonder what you're going to do. And then you're not anxious to get involved in another collaboration. So I started writing with Bob Hilliard, and I started writing with Hal David. I did a few songs, and he later went on with Burt Bacharach. And I just was figuring out what to do. And I was invited to a songwriters meeting at Dorothy Fields' house. And it was something about the copyright and all that sort of thing. And I was up there, and I said to her, and I, of course, knew Dorothy Fields and her reputation. And she was a grand old lady of the theater. And I said to her, would you care to write something with me? She said, I'd love to. And she hadn't been doing anything, and so we decided to collaborate. So we wrote a few songs. And I thought it was a collaboration that could work. And then Bobby Fosse came to me, and he said, Gwen and I would like you to do Sweet Charity.
And he said, was that Fosse's idea to adapt the movie?
Oh, yes.
The Fellini movie?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, he did an adaptation by himself. I have a poster that has his name on it, his book writer. He was the one who decided to do Sweet Charity, to do it as a vehicle for Gwen, and that it would be a wonderful property. And he asked who I wanted to write with, and I said, Dorothy Fields. And it was like a grand old family. They had done Redhead.
Right.
You know, with...
Albert Haig, I guess.
Yes, with Albert Haig. So that's how we got to do Sweet Charity. Neil Simon became involved when Bobby decided that we needed the book, right? We got to get Neil involved. And Neil was in Europe. I think he was in Rome doing a picture called The Fox. And Bobby flew over there, and he wouldn't leave until he got a yes from Neil.
Someone loves me. Someone loves me. My heart is beating so fast. All kinds of music is pouring out of me. Somebody loves me at last. Now harpsichord. I'm a clarinet. I'm the Philadelphia Orchestra. I'm the modern jazz quartet. I'm the band from Macy's Big Parade, a wild Count Basie blast. I'm the bells of St. Peter's in Rome. I'm tissue paper on a comb. And all kinds of music is pouring out of me, 'cause somebody loves me at last.
Gwen Verdon as Charity Hope Valentine, Girl Fall Guy, from the musical Sweet Charity, a musical that was based on a Fellini film entitled The Knights of Cabiria. And Gwen Verdon performed I'm a Brass Band, a song written by Dorothy Fields and Cy Coleman. Back to a pre-recorded interview with my guest today on Anything Goes, Cy Coleman.
Dorothy Fields and I had one big problem. Dorothy is an early riser and I'm not. She was an early riser, I should say. And she couldn't understand why I was still in bed at 8 o'clock. And she didn't want to understand. And I would get very testy about it because she'd call me up and she'd say, at 8:30 or something like that, having waited since 7, looking at the phone.
Oh.
I find that people who get up very early in the morning look at the phone and wonder when it will be all right to call.
That's right.
But she'd call me up at 8:30 and she'd have this tone that used to drive me absolutely crazy. She'd say, "Are you still in bed?" And I'd say, "Dorothy," I said, "I mean, it's bad enough to be woken up, but to have that imperious tone telling me that is wrong for me to be in bed is more than I can bear." So she'd finally pushed it up to 9 o'clock, and then I discovered how to, my phone would never shut off, and then I started burying it under pillows, and then she'd get angry because I was avoiding her. And so we had a big battle going on about when to start the morning. Now, Dorothy used to get up when she had a tune of mine, and when she'd work, when she'd put the lyrics to the music, and she'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. She had a card table. She used to meticulously sharpen her pencils. I heard this whole routine. And then she'd work until 8 or 9.
And then
she'd do her best work. You see, and then of course she was ready to call me.
Today I feel New York is really my personal property, right down Broadway to City Hall. Every supermarket, every 5 and 10, all of Lincoln Center and the great UN, they're all my personal property. The zoo in Central Park is merely my private menagerie. I've carved my name on every tree. From Yonkers Raceway to Bowling Green, I own everything around and in between. It's all my personal property. The planetarium is mine alone. The old aquarium I also own. And since I feel today New York is really my personal property,
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Since I like you very much, so very, very much, I'm gonna split it with you. I like you very much, so very, very much. I'm gonna split it with you, with you, with you.
Shirley MacLaine performing My Personal Property, a song written expressly for the film version of Sweet Charity. You're listening to Anything Goes with guest Cy Coleman.
Why was the song Pink Taffeta Sample size 10 cut from the score? Do you remember? It's such a...
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
Beautiful song.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, as I told you, very often your favorite songs get cut. Pink Taffeta was cut because the whole scene went. There was a whole hypnosis scene.
Oh.
And frankly, that was written before Neil Simon became involved. When Neil came in and rewrote the book, or wrote the book as you like, whatever it is, you know, in Fellini's picture, Nights of Cabiria, there was a scene where she's sort of in a carnival, and she was sort of hypnotized, and that was the scene.
Oh, I see.
And she went back to her childhood, and she sang Pink Taffeta at the sample size 10. And when that went, the song went.
When I was a kid, Pop went on the road, winter and summer. He was a traveling salesman, what the trade called a drummer. He worked for a firm called Juvenile Frocks, and once and so often he'd bring home a box. That was the box I'd fall on if my hands were clean. Pop let me try them all on. Number 553, the Juvenile Frock for me. I loved 553. It was copied from an import. It was real Parisienne. First I'd model it for Ma, then I'd hand it back to Pa. The Pink Taffeta sample, size 10, it had 27 buttons, which was sewed on very straight. And the skirt spread like a fan, and besides it fit me better than the blue organdy sample, size 8. Then my dream went in the suitcase. Papa had to take a train, and it never could be mine, 'cause he'd sell it off the line in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Then on my 11th birthday, Pop was way out in Cheyenne. It's the birthday I love most, 'cause what came by parcel post, the Pink Taffeta sample, size 10. Never thought I'd own the Pink Taffeta sample, size 10.
Lyricist Dorothy Fields performing her own song, Pink Taffeta Sample Size 10, at a Lyrics and Lyricist evening at the 92nd Street YMYWHA. That same evening, her collaborator Cy Coleman came up on stage and sang another song from the score to Sweet Charity, a song entitled, Where Am I Going?
Where am I going and what will I find? What's in this grab bag that I call my mind? What am I doing alone on the shelf? Ain't it a shame? No one's to blame but myself.
which way is clear. When you've lost your way year after year, do I keep falling in love for just the kick of it, staggering through the thin and thick of it, hating each old and tired trick of it? Know what I am, I'm good and sick of it. Where am I going? Why do I care? Run to the Bronx or Washington Square. No matter where I run, I meet myself there, looking inside me. What do I see? Anger and hope and doubt. What am I all about and where am I going? You tell me.
You're listening to Anything Goes. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. And you just heard Cy Coleman, my guest today on Anything Goes, and the feature of this particular program, performing perhaps my personal favorite of all his work, Where Am I Going, from the score to Sweet Charity.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
How did you feel about when you first approached about Seesaw? I mean, it was originally a two-character comedy by William mm-hmm. Gibson, which I think Henry Fonda and Anne Bancroft were the stars originally.
Right.
And suddenly Bennett wants to do a really big-size musical out of it.
Michael Bennett was not there in the beginning.
Oh, he wasn't. So who was presenting the idea?
Seesaw. Who brought us the idea? Michael Stewart.
Michael Stewart?
Michael Stewart originally wrote Seesaw.
I didn't know that, mm-hmm. because this is adapted. It says adapted by Michael. I assumed that he had done the book.
No. What the story was in that was Michael Stewart had written the book. Ed Sheeran was the director. Lanny Kazan was the star. And we went to Detroit. And the show was not working. And we had a big, disastrous turn of events, and Grover Dale did the choreography. The producer came out, and Lainey was let go. Ed was let go. Michael Bennett came in to take over. And there was a little bit of... Michael Stewart stayed on for quite some time. And it was just one of those things where he was in disagreement and didn't want to hurt the show. So he said, thank you all very much, but I am taking off. And take my name off. So
yeah.
Michael will kill me, but this is the truth. This is it, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything of his still in?
Huh? Oh, quite a bit. Yeah. Quite a bit.
I didn't know this at all.
Okay, now, very few people know it. Now, here we were sitting and we were in previews, and Joe Kipnis called me up and he said, listen, we need somebody to work on it. Neil Simon is having a little dinner, and it was a luncheon. And I'll never forget, I went to that luncheon, and I played stuff from Little Me. I got a And Joan, his wife, who had died, she was a wonderful girl, Neil's first wife. And she said to me, "You really want to work on your show, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do, Joan." She said, "Well," she said, "why don't you bring it up to him?" She says, "and I'll talk to him." So we did that. I talked to him about it. He said, "Well, I'll come and see it." I said, "You know, I just want you to cut it." So actually, the meeting that we had eventually was Michael Bennett, Neil Simon, myself, and Joe Kipnis. And we sat there and we talked Neil into it.
Oh, wow.
Now, Neil came in and he said, "Listen, it's going to be a present." He liked Michael a lot. And he liked me, you know, we had worked together. And he said, "It's going to be my present to you. My name cannot go on it, though." So he did extensive rewrites, too. So we had Neil Simon working on the book. Well, now we had a lot of stuff from Michael left over. We had a lot of stuff from Neil that Neil had put in. And the question is, we need to put down the name of somebody. Somebody's name has got to go on there. So Michael and I decided that was going to be Dorothy Fields. Well, she struggled with it for about 2-3 days, and she called up and she couldn't sleep nights. And she said, "I cannot do it. I cannot put my name on something I didn't do." I said, "Well, you know, this is for the good of the show, Dorothy." So she said, "No," she couldn't do it. So I turned to Michael. I said, "Well, you're the director. You're the next logical contender." I said, "We're gonna have to give it to you." So he was a little reluctant, but you know, we decided it had to be some name. So that was Michael's name.
Oh my! So that's where I get it from. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Do you remember getting the lyric to "Nobody Does It Like Me"? Well, actually, no. You just described that to me. You said that
we sat up late at night doing that in Detroit. I mean, when Michael
came in. So
that
was written out of town then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, we don't know what happened. I mean, there was one show playing on stage at the Fisher Theater, and there was one show being rehearsed at the St. Regis Hotel. I mean, it was just an incredible time. We worked so hard, and I had the London flu, and people would come in and knock at my door, and there were bodies all around and the hallways. I mean, it was just an incredible time. It was a very exciting, but a very incredible time.
Well,
a very special time.
Some of the best things happen out of town. I mean, it's, you know.
And the worst.
And the worst. But that's a really great number. Nobody Does It Like Me.
If you gave the man your number and the man calls, and he seems a little nervous and shy, you don't make him shyer or nervouser. You help him out. At least you try. Or he's just gonna say goodbye. Which is exactly what he said. Goodbye. When it comes to men, do I ever do what's right? Any year, any month, any morning, afternoon, or night. If there's a wrong way to say it, a wrong way to play it, nobody does it like me. If there's a wrong way to do it, a right way to screw it up, nobody does it like me. I've got a big loud mouth, I'm always talking much too free. If you go for tact and manners, better stay away from me. If there's a wrong way to keep it cool, the right way to be a fool, nobody does it like me. If there's a wrong bell, I ring it, a wrong note, I sing it. Nobody does it like me. If there's a problem, I duck it. I don't solve it, I just muck it up. Nobody does it like me. And so I try to be a lady. I'm no lady, I'm a fraud. And when I talk like I'm a lady, what I sound like is a broad. If there's a wrong way to get a guy, the right way to lose a guy, nobody does.
Michelle Lee performing Nobody Does It Like Me from Seesaw, a show with a score by Dorothy Fields and Cy Coleman, my guest today on Anything Goes.
I'm going to go to I Love My Wife in 1977. Where did you come across Lenny Baker, who ended up winning a Tony Award for Best Featured Actor in I Love My Wife?
We auditioned him.
Had you seen him in Next Stop Greenwich Village?
Not until after.
Oh, was that after I Love My Wife?
No, I hadn't seen him in it. I hadn't seen him in the movie until after he had been cast. I thought we had wonderful cast there.
It was.
Lenny Baker and Jim Norton, Eileen Graff, and Joanna Gleason. They were really a remarkable cast. And, you know, we started off with a different director.
Oh, before Gene Sachs, you mean?
Yes, I mean, to start off with Joe Layton. See, Joe Layton and Michael and I had worked on it for almost a year. And then 2 weeks into rehearsal, Joe had an unfortunate accident. He was at a party at a loft in one of those kind of like balcony things. Mm-hmm. And leaned against it and went over, and he fell over 10 feet down and broke everything on one side.
Wow.
Yes, it was a tragedy. And I got on the phone and called Gene Sachs in California the next morning. I mean, poor Joe was in St. Vincent's.
God.
And emergency care, and he was actually in a very intensive care unit.
I never heard this story either.
Yes, and he went through a lot. It's amazing, you know. You take a look at Joe and the way he's done Barnum and the remarkable things that he's done and his amazing recovery, and he's just as good as new. He's just patched.
Whose idea was to have the live band on stage? Was that something that evolved throughout the beginning?
Michael Stewart.
That was a phenomenally good idea.
That was Michael Stewart's idea, and the practical application of it was done by Michael and myself, and in the beginning with Joe Layton, and then afterwards, the costuming and all the kind of things, those little tricks that were Gene Sachs.
Yeah, that's very, very nice.
So I can say, you know, we can give the initial idea to Michael, and then all the little bunch of things that go in there, you know, we can all take a bit of credit for.
Uh-huh, because that made that show very, very special.
That was the idea.
My thoughts may stray, my eyes may roam, the neighbor's grass may seem much greener than the grass right here at home. If pretty girls excite me, well, that's life. But just in case you didn't know, I love my wife. My mind at times might dwell on sex. If someone's rating dreams, then most of mine, I guess, are double X. So dimpled knees delight me, well, that's life. Just in case you hadn't heard, I love my wife like bait that wriggles, makes catfish bite. And my eyes got a light upon so sweet a sight. And if I shake, break out in spots, don't fret, it's not swine fever, dear. Your swine has merely got the hots. If rosy lips invite me, well, that's life. But just in case you didn't know, I love my wife. This bee ain't lazy. Daisy,
brush against my fuzz. Well, naturally I buzz, but don't be cross or scold or cry. He likes to stop and window shop, but Papa's never gonna buy. If ladies dynamite me, well, that's life. Well, that's life. But just in case you couldn't guess or hadn't heard or didn't know, I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife.
Lenny Baker and the original cast performing the title song from I Love My Wife, a score written by Cy Coleman with lyrics by Michael Stewart.
You've been listening to Cy Coleman Part 2, the second of a three-part series. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.